And everyone's live on BBS Hello? Radio TV.
Oh.
Hello.
Hi, it's Jennifer.
Does anybody have trouble calling in?
Sometimes
yeah.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm wondering if we're on. Are we on the right line?
Yeah, we're on. This is Monday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would you like to say your name and location?
Are you sure?
If it's Monday, it must be Joy and Squim
Washington.
Nobody's here to greet Joy. I think we're all in my life zone.
Oh, I'll do
it.
I know. Yeah, it's strange.
I tried dialing Monday, and then Wednesday popped up. It's like,
I thought it was BBS. I thought I heard him say something from BBS, and then it just was real short. He didn't finish. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, no. We have the right day.
Welcome to Whole Planet Healing. Would you like to? Oh, no, it's not. Well, it's not Whole Planet Healing. It's the Monday Wild Card.
It's Roger in Austin.
That's hey, Roger. Anything. We can't get it right.
Must be Monday.
Must be Monday.
Welcome to the Monday call. Whoever you are, many people would like to say your names and location.
About that.
Cecil near Seattle.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi, Cecil near Seattle.
And who else?
Hi, guys.
Anybody else? Okay.
Terry and Sedona.
Oh, hey, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Hi, Joy.
Hi.
Hey, Terry, there was no one here to greet, and we thought there was a bunch of us on the line.
We were on the wrong line.
Well, you're doing a fine job.
Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie. Hi, everybody.
Well, yesterday was supposed to be the day, but now they put it off again.
Oh, really?
Day for what?
Welcome to the Monday call. Would you like to say your name and location and tell us what this is really called?
Well, it's Jane in Pennsylvania. I have no idea.
Hey, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
It's wild.
The Monday call is good.
It's wild something.
It's the wild card.
Wild
card.
C-A-R-G. Yeah, there you go.
How about the wild bunch?
Yeah.
The Joker's not here yet.
What's he doing, Terry? Where is he?
Let me go to show 6.
Okay.
Okay, so yesterday I was supposed to do what?
It was supposed to be the day to resolve up, like, 99% of what's going on. But
welcome to the Monday wild card call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Are you on?
Hi, everybody.
Who is it?
Hi.
Janine from Salt Lake City.
Oh,
Janine. Oh, hi, Janine.
Hi, Janine.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, now you rambunctious bunch. You have got to stop talking when somebody dings in. Rain yourself.
When they ding in the middle of what you're saying, you can't help it. It's their fault for dinging in.
Yes, you can.
It's their fault for dinging in.
My second
Antonio.
Connection wasn't working. I didn't know they were coming.
Well, most of it is just ding-a-lings.
Amen to that.
That's why we all like each other. We're all misfits.
Well, yesterday really was a big turn of the planet. So that
welcome to the Monday call. Would you like to say your name and location?
I guess so.
All right.
Hey, Wynn.
Where is Hayes today?
We don't know.
I don't know.
Didn't show up. We had no greeter.
I think BBS showed up for about half a second. I heard the voice, and then it dropped. So I don't think BBS is.
So we probably are on BBS.
Yeah, we are on BBS. I just turned it on. It is.
Hi, BBS.
Hello,
hi,
everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello,
BBS.
Hey, Wynn.
Yes.
Where is Hayes today?
Missing an
action. I don't know.
That was a repeat from BBS. It's always late. It's always behind.
Mm.
Well, that was BBS saying, where is Hayes?
Yeah. Yeah, that was you saying it, but it was BBS.
You're
when
hearing
you talk,
it on BBS.
And it's on the phone, it's immediate, but when it's on BBS, it's a delay.
Mm-hmm.
So when I try to switch back and forth, I can miss part of it. What's being said, it's hard.
You know what? You guys are doing a great job.
Yes, we are.
Of being on the Monday call?
That is funny.
Okay.
Oh, God.
The wild
but
card.
See, on a Monday call, we can't take over like we can on a 7 o'clock call.
Take over, Liam.
Well, if you bribed early enough, we could.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a wild card, so I guess we could do whatever we want, right?
I guess we could.
Whoa.
You're revolutionary, you.
Yeah.
When? Why don't you start?
Really?
I started. Can't you tell?
I did. Okay.
Quite a lot of silence.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it's a Zen call.
It's the sound of silence. The
sound
of silence.
Right.
One hand clapping.
One hand clapping.
Clapping, yes.
That's one hand clapping right there. The silent mm-hmm. scream.
Okay.
As long as it's not the blue screen of death.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It'd be nice to see some blue skies for a change.
Oh, we got blue skies.
Oh,
blue skies in Seattle.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania.
Well, our chemtrails are back. Our chemtrails are back over here, so.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Blue skies is a big white thunder cloud. Betty says, oh, they're pretty. And I said, yeah, but I wouldn't want to fly through them.
No.
In a small plane.
Any plane.
Any plane, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
I wish they'd all fly off to the Bermuda Triangle and disappear.
Oh, that's nice.
You know why the pilots always are told not to fly into the clouds? Because there's mountains that hide in clouds.
Oh, yeah.
It's called, it has a name for that, cumulus raucus.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a bad mountain in Roanoke, and some of the pilots used to fly into the mountains accidentally.
Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Welcome to the Monday call.
Oh,
would
yeah.
you like to say your name and location?
Hi, this is Terry coming back again.
Hey,
hi, Terry. Coming back again. Hi, Terry.
I'm glad you came back.
Hi. Well, you know what we decided, Terry?
What?
You would do this Monday call yourself.
Oh. Yeah. That's what we decided while you were gone.
I wasn't gone that long.
It doesn't take very long.
Oh, dear.
You know, we want to see how you do. I'll bet you'll be very creative. And it'll be
she
very
did.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not freaking out, and just be sure not to stick your foot in your mouth.
Let's have an hour of silence.
Meditate.
Terry, this group, that's impossible.
Terry's version of a Monday evening call.
We could be like buddies all together that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but the radio station will freak out when we.
That's right. That's right.
I'll think everything is breaking down. Hey. Hello to everybody on VBS. Now listen, we're obviously crazy tonight, okay? So feel free to come back on Wednesday night at the same time. We'll probably be much more sane, okay?
Oh, stick around. You might like it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you'll know if you're supposed to stick around. If you're still there, mm-hmm. you're sticking around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we do very interesting things on this call, okay? We do. And, who is that?
Somebody snoring.
Oh, my.
Probably on purpose.
Go ahead, Wynn.
It's boring.
Okay. So, Terry,
yeah.
Come on, do something. Do something.
Well, would you like to hear the story of my past life in Rome?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Your past life
right.
Where?
Wait in Rome.
In Rome?
That's
we've
right.
not heard
Rome.
That one, Terry. I don't remember this one. This
no.
Is
no, I've never told it. I've never cool. told it.
Well, tell it to us.
All right. I was born in the northern part
wait,
of Italy.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Now I can start the tape recorder. Okay.
Yeah.
The recording has started.
This is March 22nd, 2021, and Terry and Wynn in Sedona, everybody everywhere, and this is our Monday night wild card, and tonight I decided to just turn it over to Terry and see what she wants to say. And we've never done that before, okay? Have we ever done that, Terry?
No. We haven't.
No. And Terry tends to be shy, but she's very profound. And she does a lot of interesting things besides channeling Ra'an. And one thing is she can see spirits in her room, like dead people, okay? And she can remember some of her past lives. And I turned it over to her before we officially started, and she said I said, what are you going to do tonight? He said, well, I'm going to tell people about my past life in Rome. And I said, that's a good idea. and I turned it over to her, and I realized I didn't start the tape recorder. So then we just started over, and here we are with the tape running. And does anyone else on the call remember any of the past lifetimes?
Yeah.
Lauren?
Yeah, but I'm not about to talk about them.
not about what?
I'm not about to talk about them.
Oh, so I tell everybody? Yeah. I said
I don't want to talk about all of mine. No. Some of mine I don't want to talk about.
Now, this is honoring free will.
Right.
This is honoring free will.
For a change.
Well, that's your theory.
My name is Free. Anybody here named Will? All right. Okay, Terry, I'm turning it over to you, and I am going to be quiet. Unless you screw up, then I'm going to jump in and say, don't say that.
And then you can take over. All right, this is happened about 30 A.D. in Rome, Italy. And I was born in that lifetime in northern Italy, and my father, he went off to war somewhere, and he never came back. And my mother was taking in washing and trying her best to make ends meet, but she just wasn't really doing very good. So there was somehow we got down to by the Appian Way. The Appian Way is a narrow road that went to Rome. And my mother was taking me along the Appian Way towards Rome, and she said that she could not support me, and so she was going to take me to Rome and leave me in Rome. And so I was really sad because I didn't want to leave her. And so we were getting closer and closer to Rome, and there were pines along the road. It was a really nice road made of stone, laid in nice patterns. It was really put together well. And we got to a place where there was some grass beside the road. And she just said, okay, she was leaving me there. And I was to go on to Rome. And I was about 10. And so then she turned around and she went back along the way we came. And I went and I laid in the grass and looked up through the pine trees, and I kept crying and crying and crying because I had no idea what to do or where to go. And so in this lifetime, now it's like every time I hear the pines of Rome, I just start crying. Mm. And I see the pine trees and looking up through the pine trees. And so I was a long time. I fell asleep in the grass. And when I woke up, there was an old man next to me, and he wanted to know what I was doing there. And so I told him my mother had left me there. And he said, well, he was the keeper of the catacombs in the neighborhood. And catacombs are where you go down a flight of steps, and they have underground tunnels, and they have slots in the wall where they bury their dead people. and he was the keeper of the catacombs. So he said that I could be his sidekick, and I could help him, and then maybe if I did a good job, when I grew up, I could take his place as the keeper of the catacombs. So I was really happy to be with him. And he told me if I ever did anything wrong, that he would not own, he would disown me. He wouldn't have anything to do with me anymore. That would be it. So I got acquainted with the catacombs. We slept in some grass down in the first level. And he slept next to me, and he made a grass bed next to him, and I slept there. And sometimes there were religious people, and they were coming down in the catacombs, and they would sing hymns and songs, really nice songs. But I never talked to them. I never got acquainted with them. And so he got to know me better, and finally, one day, he took me to Rome, and he showed me Rome, and we bought some food and grains and stuff, and and then I went with him a few times, and then he asked me to go alone to Rome. Well, that was... I didn't do very well in that trip. I went to Rome, and there was a bakery, and it was had fresh-made bread, and it smelled so good. And I kept thinking, wow, if the old man could taste this bread, he would not buy the black bread anymore that he bought. You had buy this bread. but I didn't have enough money to buy the bread, and I wasn't supposed to buy the bread anyway. So I snuck up and I put it underneath my leather coat, and I walked to the door where I met two Roman soldiers who asked me what I had under my coat. And I brought the bread out and gave it to them, and they took it and put it back on the counter. And then they said, where did I live? Where were my parents? And I said, I lived outside of Rome. And they said, take me there. So I showed them where I lived. And the old man was there, and the two Roman soldiers were with me, and they went up to the old man. I hadn't spoken to the old man. He was there, and he came up. And the soldiers said, do you know this boy? And the old man said, I never saw him before in my life. And just then, the religious group that were singing songs, they all came out of the underground doorway, and the soldiers rounded them up and asked them their names and their information, and they asked if they knew me, and they said, well, you know, he's a boy we've seen around. So then they arrested all of the religious people, and they arrested me, but they didn't arrest the old man. And I was really thankful that they didn't arrest the old man. So they took us into Rome as a group and put us in jail. And we... The the religious people were singing songs and trying to make the best of this. And then they took us to the stadium where they have the circus. And then they brought in lions. We could hear lions roaring. And they started to call out the one at a time some of the religious people. And they went out. They would go out, and we would hear them scream, and they were being killed in the arena. And the crowd, we used to hear the crowd roar. So in this lifetime, one time I did a sunglass show at a stadium in Watsonville in Northern California. And when the stock car races were being heard, the crowd roared just like the roar of the people in the auditorium where they were displaying and killing the religious people. And so it was really scary, like when the crowd in Watsonville started roaring like that. And the girls came to me that were working with me selling sunglasses and said, we have to leave, and we recommend you leave too because the crowd doesn't sound that good. And so we packed up everything up and I left, and the crowd went wild, and they destroyed booths and they killed six people there in Watsonville. At the show, so this was really it's like when the crowd has that roar. It was the same roar that they had at the Roman circus. So you know, I knew that I was on the list to be sent out there, and there was one other boy who was there who was approximately my age. And he came nearby and he motioned to me. And he said that he left a gate open and we might be able to get out. And so he and I, we were small, so we went through the tunnels and we went to the outside. But the gate was locked. But they used to bring the big displays, like the elephants and animals in, and they hid a rope through a huge rope hole above the entrance. And I looked up there, and I thought we might be able to get out through the rope hole. So we were able to get the rope out of it, and then and then we climbed up here and we wriggled through. And if we were any bigger, we wouldn't have been able to do it. And we dropped, it was about 12 feet, and we dropped down to the street. And then we were outside. And the boy said, okay, we better split up. And so he went his way and I went my way, and I found, eventually, I found a pile of old rags and things, and I hid in it. And in the middle of the night, I could hear noises, and I thought, oh, boy, they're looking for us. And, but anyway, then eventually it was quiet again. And then in the morning, I felt really bad because my leather jacket was didn't fit quite right because I was growing out of it, and it was kind of like torn. And but there was a man. I saw this man, and he had a carriage, and he was getting some boxes from somewhere, from like a warehouse or storehouse, and he was carrying the boxes in. He had a box fall off the top of it, and I ran over and I picked it up, and I said, I'll carry it for you. And he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a coin, and he held it out to me. And instead of taking the coin, I said, would you adopt me? And that worked for you. And he said, well, you're too young to do that. And I said, well, I'm a really good worker. And so he said, well, come with me. And he went with me. He guided me to his carriage, and I carried a box. And he carried the rest of the boxes to the carriage, and we put him in, and he had me sit in the carriage next to him, and he took me to his beautiful house in Rome. And he had like a garden in the back, and he had slaves that were cooking whatever we wanted. And he sat me down, and he says, now tell me about your life. Why do you want to be adopted? And so I told him about what had happened, and he said he gave me something to eat, and then he gave me a really nice soft bed to sleep on, and I went to sleep, and I felt like I was home. And he did. He adopted me, and I grew up to be like a Roman, a kind of a well-off Roman boy, and I just had a really nice life. So that was my Roman life.
How do you figure out which lives to remember? I mean, you don't
remember what I remember. I remember and every now and then something will give me deja vu, and I will start to remember another life of, you know, it'll kind of develop. And there was one time in this life where there was a gentleman that somebody was introducing me to, and he indicated that he was a Christian, and he gave a big talk, and I was at the talk, and he indicated he was a Christian, and he felt that he was the reincarnation of Jesus. He said that in his talk, and after the talk, a friend of mine took me to introduce me to him. And I stuck out my hand to shake hands, and he kept his hands behind him, and he kept looking at the sky. And I knew that man was the man that was walking out of the catacombs with all the religious people, and he was the leader of all of the religious people that were singing songs in the catacombs. I knew it was him, and I really triggered him. I really keyed him in bad, because his life didn't end very well, that life, because he was one of the ones that was taken to the auditorium, to the circus. So we never spoke. We just looked at each other. It's like, and then he looked at the sky. It's like, oh no, there he is again. He's the one that got us caught.
So, Carrie, are you saying that they killed him? They killed him, right?
Yes. Yeah, they killed all of the religious people. They, you know, at in Rome, about then, they would take any religious people that they found, and they would take them to the auditorium, and they would slay them in front of the crowd, like have the lions eat them and stuff like that. I mean, it
wasn't Rome, like the Vatican, running the church?
Not then.
This was
they
after
were very,
Jesus.
Very against, yes, and they were against the religions. They were very mm-hmm. much against the religion. It was mm-hmm. later that it got moved over
mm-hmm.
to be the Vatican. So that's just one of my lifetimes. And it really ended up surprisingly well for how bad it was going.
Uh-huh. Good remember, telling. Your mother in this life wasn't from that lifetime, was she?
No, she wasn't. No, not at all. Mm-hmm. My mother from this life was probably in Rome designing beautiful Roman buildings because she was an architect. And she, mm-hmm. I've got a book of her drawings that I wrote. And her drawings are beautiful Roman buildings. She went to mm-hmm. Rome and she drew them in her lifetime, this life.
Now, I remember, as your mother was getting older, she moved into your house, right?
Right. She was in her 90s, and my brother had crashed the car, and she had given her a fractured skull, and afterwards she couldn't talk and she couldn't walk. Mm-hmm. And I went to New York, and I took her to a clinic in Mexico, and they diagnosed her with a fractured skull with water on the brain. And so I took her to Los Angeles and had her operated on by a very good surgeon there. And afterwards, she was able to walk some and to talk some. And she stayed with me until she died.
Mm-hmm. I just remember. Now, I'm sure you guys have heard us talk about Terry's friend, John Sanborn, who there's a high probability that Terry was his wife when he was Socrates.
Right.
And when Terry's mother was staying at the house, John was there also. And she would sit. And was she in a wheelchair? Can't remember.
She was in a wheelchair.
Yeah, she would sit in a wheelchair, and she would stare at John, and he hated
it. Yeah, there was a chair in the house that would turn in circles, and she would go sit in that chair, and she would turn the chair to follow him with her eyes wherever he was, and he just couldn't stand to be stared at. So I'd come home, and she'd be sitting surrounded by big sofas and chairs and in the middle with her potty chair. And she'd say, boy, am I glad you're here. Because he was trying to barricade her so she couldn't look at him.
And then they'd have these
conversations. Like John would ask her, "Do you like Frank Lloyd Wright?" And she would take like a minute of silence to answer because she knew that he wasn't going to like the answer, and she would finally answer, "No." Mm-hmm. She was classical. She liked classical architecture, not Frank Lloyd Wright. And besides Frank Lloyd Wright, he had some glitches in his construction oftentimes, and the roof would leak or some weird thing would happen. And so she didn't like his structures. No, you were going to say something, Lynn.
I can't remember. There's another time that I think you and your mother and I went to that, what's the name of that? There was kind of an upscale town near Pasadena.
Sierra Madre.
Sierra Madre. And we went to, that's where you lived. We went there to have lunch, right?
Yes.
Right, Carrie?
Yeah, and my mother, there was the a place that had tables outside, and we loved to sit on the sidewalk and eat at those tables outside. She loved it. She'd say, imagine that, flowers in February, because in New York, it was winter. And she'd look at the palm trees, and she'd say, look at those palm trees. How do they get up there to cut them so neatly and take off all the extraneous palm leaves? She just loved looking at that. And I'd run her wheelchair along the street, and she'd say, look at the way they make the curves. They slant down so the wheelchair goes right down it. She was always thinking of construction of buildings and how they're made and stuff like that. Because she was an architect, and she designed banks and schools and buildings and homes and stuff like that.
And you were from Spencerport, New York, right?
Yes. That's right.
And your mother, did she design some of the buildings there?
She designed mostly buildings in Rochester, but she designed, there was one of the first houses that was ever built there, and she remodeled it, and it was just the cutest little thing. And then they decided to build a store right there. And so she said she wanted to buy it, and she got all the specifications to move it to her property. She had 46 acres, and it was all set to go, and she was going to pay $10,000 for the whole thing. She was really excited about it. She had all the plans drawn up. And then the city said, you can't have another well on your street, so you can't do it. And they refused. And they demolished that house that she had so carefully, and it was so cute the way she had designed it. And that really made her really mad. But she would get really mad sometimes. She would, like the church would say, we're going to put aluminum siding on the church. And she'd say, you can't do that, because the wood will sweat underneath the aluminum, and it will rot the wood. And this is the earliest building in the whole, the church is the oldest building in the whole neighborhood, and it is really a historical monument, and so you can't do it. And they'd say, we're going to do it. And so the workmen would show up to do it, and they'd find, it's like she would be up on the roof of the church, the steep roof. She'd be up on the roof saying, you can't put aluminum siding on this church. And so they had to get the police to come and to get her down and make her stop so they could put aluminum siding on the church. But she was very fiery.
Your mother's not coming in. She's not hearing us, is she?
No, I figured it's like I've been checking on her. She has another body, and she was reborn as a girl, and she's just the cutest girl you ever saw. She tends to have, in her lifetime, she is really pretty. She was so pretty in her last lifetime that when she came across the border from France into Italy and presented her papers to the border guard, he said, "You don't have to give me any papers. You're too pretty to have to give somebody papers." And she said, "What?" And she gave him the papers again. And he said, "I said, you don't have to give any papers. You're too pretty." But she was really just a cutie pie. And she looked like somebody that stepped off the cover of Vogue, because she dressed with silk dresses and high heels and silk stockings. But then she would go out and she would lay a layer of cement block, like rocks, and she'd dress in her overalls and she'd be all prepared for that, but she still looked cute. And she shingled the roof herself. I've got pictures of her shingling the roof when she's 88 years old.
Wow. See, I remember her quite well.
Yeah.
I don't think she liked me, though. Did she like me? I can't remember.
Well, she was pretty, you know, she had a lot of brain damage when she met you.
Yeah.
I don't know that she did like you, because she either liked like carpenters that were really good carpenters, or a suave gentleman dressed in really a tuxedo. she was pretty classy.
She didn't like John. I know she didn't like John.
No, she didn't like John. She didn't
like
John.
She liked to stare at John.
Yes. She really liked to stare at John. And John was a sweetie pie. It's like he would give her snacks and he'd make her lunch and he made everybody breakfast. And then for dinner, I'd come home from work and I'd put her in the wheelchair and I wheel her up to Beatles restaurant, and we'd have dinner at Beatles restaurant, and she really liked doing that, so we had a lot of fun.
This was the good old days.
Yes. Right.
Terry was living with John all this time.
Yes.
But they really weren't in an intimate relationship.
Right. Yeah.
And John used to sleep on the couch, and he would be writing all the time.
All day long, he would write.
And Terry would think that she was a patron of John's creativity.
See, he fell in love with an 18-year-old girl, and he'd write love poems to her.
When you were living in Pasadena? No.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
He was in love with an 18-year-old.
When I knew him?
Yes. Yes. He was really in love with a girl from, she was from Costa Mesa, and then there was a girl that he had known from when he was in Europe, and he had come to America with her. He was an American. He brought her to America, and I think she was American too. And then he just, what am I doing with an 18-year-old girl when I'm 56? And so he broke it off with her. And she was living in Ohio, and then one day she just walked out the door in Ohio with just the clothes she had on, and she hitchhiked straight to John in California. So he had moved into an apartment at that time in Costa Mesa, and this girl, Dagmar, showed up at his door. And then The 18-year-old girl also moved in to his apartment. And then they told John he had to stay in his room. And they took over the rest of the house. And then they went to India together with Muktananda, the two girls.
And this was the time when people were all following gurus. And
yes.
Muktananda was a guru. And he became rather famous here because one of the people, how many of you know who Ram Dass was?
Yes.
One person?
Yeah. Heard the name.
I knew too.
Yeah. Ram Dass was Timothy Leary's sidekick at Harvard. And he was with Timothy Leary when Timothy Leary was promoting LSD. What was his famous phrase? Tune in and drop out. And Ram Dass's name at that time was Richard Alpert. And they were both professors at Harvard. And I think they got fired because of all their LSD promotion to the students. And then Richard Alpert started studying Indian philosophy. And he liked Muktananda. And he would give talks at colleges. And he would introduce Muktananda. And Muktananda had a tremendous amount of, I think they called it Shakti energy. You know, a room would fill with energy. I saw him. I saw them both, and then I saw Muktananda. And a number of people from Hollywood ended up becoming followers of Muktananda.
He had a big tent in Santa Monica. And he would fill it with people sitting on the floor of the tent, and everyone would come and bring him flowers or little gifts. And myself and the two girls, Dagmar and Anandi, and John, we would all go and listen to Muktananda speak.
Mm-hmm. And then, just to add my own little story here, there was a time when you heard me talk about my hitchhiking days. One time I was picked up by this guy that was going to Ram Dass's father's farm, where Ram Dass was doing, what do they call it? Oh, talks about Indian stuff. And apparently, he was gay, and he was telling this story of how his father used to call him Ram Dass.
Oh, no.
And that was so much fun, everyone wandering around the farm, kind of high and out of their rest of their lives and into a new reality. And Terry, we did it. You did it. And I don't think people got the least bit bored. Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Terry. It was interesting.
Let's give Terry a round of applause.
Oh.
Yes.
Hmm.
Thank you, Terry. It was great. Very,
yeah,
very
you
enjoyable.
Were cool.
I enjoyed it too.
We love your story. They're always fun.
Well, you know what? She puts out a lot of loving energy. when she talks, mm-hmm. and it's kind of amazing. And
beautiful.
And she has really deep observations of people. Okay. And we're gonna go to Whole Planet Healing. It starts in 3 minutes. Okay. So
great.
Anyone happens to be listening on BBS and want to hear where Terry came to and how she started channeling the Elohim, and we will be sharing a reading. We do that every night on BBS. Not on BBS, on Whole Planet Healing. We share one of the channelings that she did. And, you know, all the time I knew her, she was interested in channeling, but she never channeled. We never
talked
to the Elohim.
I never talked to the Elohim, but I channeled with Cheryl Taylor. I channeled the Council of Light.
Uh-huh. But in any case, anyone want to say anything before we go?
Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
And Wynn.
Yeah,
thanks
a lot. That was very enjoyable.
That was great.
Well, I don't take any credit for that, okay? Except being supportive so Terry can be her loving self. And, okay, let me stop the tape recorder.
This session is no longer being recorded.
And we'll see you at 712-770-4340. And the PIN is 250-513, pound. And thank you all for being here. We'll see you in a moment.